Are we ready for the word this morning? Join your hands with your neighbor this morning and let's make this confession. Thank you, sweet Father, for your spirit of liberality, for the grace with which you've bestowed upon us by the work of redemption. We decree this morning that as we study scriptures, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches you've bestowed upon us by the giving of the Spirit. We do declare and decree that the word of truth is taught with accuracy and precision. And at the end of this meeting, as believers, we are edified and only Christ is glorified. Glory to God. Yeah, welcome to church this morning. This month we started a series titled Investigating Scriptures. Look at your neighbor and say, Investigating Scriptures. Look at your neighbor and say, Investigating Scriptures. Look at your neighbor and say, this morning we are going to be investigating Scriptures. Don't lose track. You might hear things that are new. You might hear things that might shake your knowledge. You might hear things that might shake your ideology. But keep following Pastor. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Hallelujah. You know, it's always good to say things like that, because if I rarely teach in places and people don't always have questions upon questions upon questions. Yeah, you know, a proof of sound doctrine is thinking and not excitement. Amen. There's a difference between sound doctrine and good oratory. Is that a word called oratory? Oratory? Is it? Yeah, good oratory, right? There's a difference between good oratory and sound doctrine. What is good oratory? Oh, to defeat the devil on your feet, you have to take him up from his seat and took him to the pit so that he will not hit the heat of the, you know? Yeah, and a very common nonsense again is, if you don't pay your tithe, life will be tight. That is total nonsense, no matter who says it. Total nonsense, because it looks like the more we pay our tithe, our lives are tight. If you don't know me, I know. It looks like the more you pay your tithe, your life is tighter. A non-believer doesn't have to serve your God to pay tithe before he's wealthy. You see, we don't deal with God on a transactional basis. God is not MMM investor. God is not, what do you call all those schemes? God is not long rich. God is not poison scheme. When you give him, he will give you. No. When you sow up, you will go up. I mean, how did they say those things again? You know, a seed in your hand that cannot meet your need, you give it as a seed so that God will meet your need. No. Yeah. You can prove them from scriptures. Yeah. As believers, we don't give for God to give us. It's an insult on God. What did you give him before he gave you his son? So there's a difference between good or so. You see, when you go to a church, what you should look for is not entertainment, but what he said. What you should look for is not entertainment. What you should look for is not drama units. What you should look for is not dancing units. Is there anything wrong in dancing on itself? No. Is there anything wrong in acting? No. But the church is not a place we come to come and be doing drama on Sunday. No. If disciples acted like that in their days, we will get the gospel today. Think about it. If disciples, anytime they come together to come and meet, they will say, we call Apostle Paul at the drama unit. Apostle Paul will now come and collect mic. Praise the Lord, people of God. This morning, as we're going to act, we pray that we minister to your spirit, soul, and body. Amen. No, acting doesn't get anyone saved. Dancing doesn't get anyone saved. The only thing that gets a man saved is what? Believing in that work of redemption. Yeah, so always keep your seatbelt fastened when listening in church, because I would usually say things that might shake with you or might change or might negate your ideologies for life, you know. But the truth remains that you don't have to believe it because I'm saying it, but you believe it because the word says it. Are we together? You know, this few months we are studying investigating scriptures. On Sundays, we're going to be looking at how to study the Bible in simple terms, and on Wednesdays, we're going to be looking at sacred cows. Remember that teaching? Remember what I said about sacred cows? What are sacred cows? Sacred cows are those ideologies or customs that people are, that people hold in high esteem, and people think they cannot touch it. An example of that is, well, water baptism. We need to explain what is baptism in the Bible. Are we asked to put people inside water? No. Paul says, I thank my God I baptized not no any and I baptized no other person apart from a few people I baptized. I thank God. Why? Because God did not send me to do that. Yeah, so if Paul said Christ did not send him to baptize with water, no, is you like water, you like H2O. Yeah. Yeah, you see, baptism, communion. Did they say, how can you be putting, how can you turn wafers from dunamis to Jesus' body? No, no. So we're going to look at that. It's going to take us weeks. You know, what I'm saying now looks very simple, but it's going to take us weeks to unfold. And we're not going to unfold any of these things without considering the scriptures. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. For instance, first fruits. What is first fruits? Go to your workplace. Your boss slaps you throughout the 20 days of your working in the month, and a man says you should bring everything forcefully to give God. Yeah. And at the end of throughout the month, you keep borrowing. No, no, no. What is first fruit in the Bible? The Bible says that Christ is the first fruit from the land of the dead. First fruit. What is tithing? Yeah. So all these things are things that people think don't touch. No. Who benefits from seed sowing? Guess who? It's not you. It's not God. Is the power? Stop. I want 20 of you to sow 20,000 naira. Who's rich? Who goes home richer? No, who goes home richer? You know, it's very easy to prophesy and promise. You see, that's why a lot of people go into depression as Christians easily, because they think that God promised them certain things, but God did not promise them. It was your pastor that. Why should a pastor tell you that, come, God wants to give you 100 fold harvest if you sow $10,000? Please, what is 100 times $10,000? That is 100,000? $1 million. Yeah? If it is like that, that you sow 10,000 and God will give you $1 million, where are we supposed to be today? You know, we would have been living in Antarctica by now. This year, God wants to give you a jet so that I can propagate the gospel, but you've not preached to your neighbor. Are we together? Yeah. So what I just did was to open your heads, open your caps. Yeah. Open your heads rather, so that I can put a thinking cap on it. You see, money is not a proof that you are in alignment with God's will. Yeah, I think that's a good thing to write in your notes. Money is not a proof that you are in alignment with God's will. Having a good grade is not a proof that you're in alignment to God's will. Having a first class is not a proof that you're in alignment to God's will. Having a car is not a proof that you're in alignment with God's will. Miracles in general are not proofs that you're in alignment to God's will. Miracles are not proofs. Because even the unbelievers have miracles. But they are not in God's will, because God wants all men to be saved. That is God's will. You know, the most difficult people to know if God is in their midst or not are those that seem to be successful. Amen? The most difficult people. Why? Because the easiest thing they can tell you, even if you tell them that they're not in God's will, is that I have results. Write this also. Results are not proof that you're in God's will. Results are not proofs that result is not a proof that you're in alignment with God's will. So it's not about, it's working for me. It's working for me. Is it working? It's working. It's not about that. Yeah? It's not that, oh, what I'm doing is working. You know, there are some scriptures that, you know, on Friday we're teaching about something. When the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. A lot of people use that scripture to heal people that are sick. And people get healed. That there's a result from healing from that scripture doesn't mean that scripture is about physical healing. By stripes you are healed is not about your physical healing. The next verse says, for a sheep that has been led astray, you've now returned back to the bishop and shepherd of your soul. That is the supernatural and spiritual healing that Christ brought. Yeah, Christ did not die to give us more money. Christ did not die to give us more houses. No, if not, all of us should have estates by now. Yeah, so when you begin to say things that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, be careful what you say afterwards. Because the truth is that the earth is managed by men. Yeah, the land. Okay. Can you come to this land tomorrow and say, this is my father's land, my father is God, and this is my land, so I take possession? You see, that's why a lot of us pray to God to do things that we will not accept other people pray to God to do with us. What that simply means is this: you are a CEO of a company, and I didn't go to primary school at all, but I'm praying by faith and sowing seed that when I submit my CV to you, you will employ me. And there's nothing on my CV apart from my address, my age, my date of birth, my local government, my state of origin, and my phone number. Yeah, and you work in a company like Shell, you are the CEO. And I'm praying, Lord, Lord, oh Lord. And then after you come and sow a seed so that that miracle will happen. See, so if you were the one, if you were the one praying that prayer for me as the CEO, for God to turn my heart to give you the job, if you were the CEO, will you employ someone to be the manager of your company that did not go to primary school? You will not. So you see, you have a bias. You are praying to God for what you know he will not want him to answer for another person. That's covetousness. Yeah, so that it is working is not a proof that you are in alignment with God's will. That you finished with the first class is not a proof that you are, it's not a proof that anything you do is God wants you to do. No, that you got a visa is not proof that that's where God wants you to be. You know, in this series, we're going to be doing a teaching on what is the will of God. The will of God is not for you to be a doctor. See, if you are here and you still think that it's God's will for you to be a doctor or God's will for you to be an engineer, nah. God's will is for you to be saved. Yeah, that is what predestination is. You know, it's going to take us weeks to unfold that simple thing I said. Predestination is for a man to be found in Christ. You know, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image. And in Genesis 27, in his image made he him, and in him made he them, male and female. Yeah, so male and female, the image of God. Remember that teaching, the image of God is who? Christ, yeah? So we're going to unfold all of these things. Yeah, you see, if a message you are preaching in Nigeria is going to change when you go to the U.S., you are preaching a wrong doctrine. That's what I mean. If you are in Nigeria and the message you are preaching, for instance, the message you are preaching to your people in Nigeria is that God wants to give you. Okay, let me say it this way. If the message you preach to the poor is different from the message you preach to the rich, you are not preaching the message that Christ asks you to preach. Hallelujah. What does that mean? If you are amongst the poor now, I know that all of you cannot give $1 million. Yeah? Yeah? So imagine, this is what I mean. If that will take calls for your crossover service and your pastor says, this is your year of divine breakthrough, is that prayer for him? Or he is the breakthrough of the church? So the moment Dangote cannot say amen to a teaching or listen to a teaching, I don't need that teaching. That's not the gospel. The gospel is strictly about how Christ died. That is God loving mankind. He died. He came as a man to save mankind. That is the gospel, and that is all. That's the gospel that you need. That's the gospel that the man on the street needs. It's simple and unique to everyone needs that gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God washed away our sins, but did not wash away our brain. God washed away our sins, but did not wash away common sense. See the example we used 2 weeks ago. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Common sense should tell you that you cannot do all things. Yeah? Yeah? Common sense. Yeah? Your brain should tell you that you cannot do all things. You know? But because you have heard it from top men, big men, say it, you know, it's not by result, oh. It's not by result, oh. People of God. It's not by result. Also, that you are having two people in your church doesn't mean that you are preaching the gospel. Do you understand what I just said? It's not the number that shows you are doing the right thing. It is in what you are saying we know you are doing the right thing. How correct is it with scriptures? Yeah? If you can put on a thinking cap, you know that scriptures are for what they are. You know, we don't turn scriptures to impress us. You know, that is basically what we're going to look at in this our journey. So, all those scriptures that you think are personal scriptures, for I know the plan he has of me, they have good enough of you to bring that plan and put it in. And you think the plan is because they shack you from your job, the share will employ you. No, that's not expected end. Let's not lie. That cannot be expected. What's the expected end? To be found in Christ. If you are willing and obedient, and you will eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? It's not contract. It's forgiveness of sin. Let's stop lying to people. Brother Kenneth Hagin usually says something. He says, if the church does exactly what they are supposed to do, there will not be need for Bible schools. What we call Bible schools today is what the apostles were doing on a normal meeting service. Are we together? You know, it's always very, it always turns very quiet when people begin to touch their sacred ideologies. Oh, are you saying that? Are you saying that? Are you saying that miracles don't happen? No. Don't be, see, be twice a listener than a speaker. When someone tells you that Christ did not die for your money, don't go further to say that the guy is saying he doesn't believe in miracles. No, I witness miracles. Ah, miracles happen to me. Ah, miracles happen to us. But miracles are not exclusive to the believer. That's why you don't go out on the street and preach people and say, it's a wrong teaching. People do it. You go to the preacher and say, come and witness my God. My, see how we, see, for instance, the song we sang by Nathaniel Bassey, see how he turned my life around. Don't be thinking your job. Because me right now, if it's that one, my life is not turned any around though. No, my life is not turned any around. What do I have? So what is see how he turned my life around? He delivered you from the wrath to come and translated you to the kingdom of his dear son. He has turned your life around. That's like when you get to sing, destiny changer, come and change my destiny. No, you're actually saying God should deliver you from heaven and take you to the kingdom of hell. Because destiny to God is to be found in Christ. You're already in Christ. You are singing destiny changer. What do you want it to do? So don't think destiny changer as you didn't have a house, you now want God to give you a house. No, a man can have a house without believing in your Christ. Atheists have houses. Even better than a lot of us that go for midweek service, Sunday service, and TPM. Yeah, so when somebody tells you that Christ did not die for your money, for your house, don't fight it. You must say, just sit down. You've lived 20 years on earth. Look at your parents. Look at now. You're thinking of your parents. Yeah. I'm thinking of my own parents. Yeah. You're thinking, okay. I know I was born into a Christian family. Why are you laughing? Yeah, I was born into a Christian family. I've seen my parents. Yeah, they did their best. They did everything. But I know that I could have gotten better than what I got. Is that true? Yeah, you could have gotten better than what your parents gave you. Is that true? You could even if you went to Covenant or Affair or Babcock, you could have gotten more than what your parents gave you. Yeah. So when we say miracles are not exclusive to the believer, don't be saying the pastor is saying he doesn't believe in miracles. No, no. Hallelujah. You know, so doing investigative scriptures, there are certain studies that we have to consider. Let's now get ready to write. The first study we're going to be considering, or the first study to have in mind, is the study called theology. Everybody say theology. Theology. What do you think theology will be? Theo means God, and logy means study of. What does theology now mean? Beautiful, yeah. You answered it. You can write it already. Theology means the study of God. Logy simply just means study of something. Yeah, biology. Yeah, biology has to do with study of two things. Yeah, bi, because you have bi there. So biology will be something of study between plants and animals. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, so we have theology, which is study of God. We have Christology. Christology, just spell Christ and put O, then logy, L-O-G-Y. Christology is the study of Christ. Christology is study of Christ. Pneumatology is the next one, study of the Spirit. Pneumatology, I'll spell that for you. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Theology, study of God. Christology, study of Christ. Pneumatology, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. That's the study of the Spirit. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-G-Y. That's study of the Spirit. Glory to God. Bibliology. That's Bibliology. Yeah? So B-I-B-L-I-O-L-O-G-Y. Bibliology. That's the study of what? The books of the Bible. Yeah? Bibliology. The study of the books of the Bible. Bibliology. The study of the books of the Bible. First, theology, study of God. Christology, study of Christ. Pneumatology, study of Spirit. Bibliology, study of the books of the Bible. And the next one, soteriology. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-G-Y. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. That's the study of the, of what? Soteria means salvation. Study of salvation. Beautiful. You know the answer. Write that down already. Yeah? Study of salvation. That's soteriology. Eschatology is E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. E-S-C-H-O-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Eschatology. What do you think that would be? Yeah, study of the last day events. Like the book of Revelation. What you call the book of Revelation? Revelation, yeah? Revelation is a very interesting book, but very simple to misunderstand and very simple to understand. Yeah, but we might touch the book of Revelations in this series. You know, Revelation, people are always scared of going to Revelations. Oh, what does it now mean when it says fire will burn? What does it mean when you are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out? You know, all those things. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, so before eschatology, you should have written this, sorry, forgive me, but you can also write this afterwards. Ecclesiology. 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 That's the study of what? The church. Ecclesia means the church. Cutting from two words, ek and clear. Yeah, that's the called out ones. That is the church. Ecclesiology. The study of the church. Did we all get all that? So can we go back together? Number one. Theology. Everybody together. Number one. Theology. What's theology? Theology? Number two. Christology. What's Christology? Christology? Number three. What's pneumatology? Number four. Study of what? Next one. What's the next study of that? Ecclesiology is what? Study of the church, right? What is eschatology? Now, go to John 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus was speaking there. He said, "Ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." They are they which testify of me. "Ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." What are the scriptures? What would be the scriptures that Jesus was referring to here? Would the book of John be included? Why? Because John was not written at the time when Jesus said, "You search the scriptures." So scriptures were what? So, what did he say now? He said, "Ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So, what do scriptures testify of? What is the testimony of scriptures? So, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of their testimony." Is he saying, when you come for testimony time, you have victory over the devil? No. God did not wash our brain and common sense, but he washed our sins. So, you don't say, "Come and share testimony." You say, "And the testimony time," what do they call it? Oh, God has done it again. That's in your church, your former church. I want to call it testimony. Okay, it's offering time, that is blessing time. Okay, yeah. So testimony time, overcomers, or victory time. Yeah. So now say, "We have come to testimony time, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony." The word there, "and," you know we're going to get there. The word there, "and," is the word that means "which is," to explain something that was earlier said. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of their testimony. What is the word of testimony? "And the scriptures testify of me." Hallelujah. It's not testimony of "you got a house." No. There are people that don't believe in your God that got better. There are people that don't believe in your God that they can just give standing order. Every week they will pay you your present salary. Standing order. Just call their branch manager. "How much are you collecting?" You say 50,000. 500,000. I said, "Please, just debit credit to Sister Christiana every 1 week. 500,000. Can people do that? They don't believe in God. So things that happen to you are never proofs that God is with you. It's not a proof that God is with you, because there are sometimes you will have, there are sometimes you will not have. There are sometimes you will suffer. You know, it's so unfortunate that a lot of times, me, I not go suffer, I not go beg for bread. But you sang it on Sunday, you still beg for bread on Monday. Yeah? So the scriptures testify of who? Christ. The word of their testimony is Christ, the message of Christ, which is the word of the, by the, by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of testimony. What is the blood of the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Christ. Yeah, Lamb is typical for Christ, points to Christ. Look at verse 44. "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Next verse. "Do not think that I accuse you of to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust." Verse 46. For, look at it. Let's read verse 46 together. 1, 2, 3, go. "Why should you have believed him?" Glory to God, because Moses wrote about Christ. So when Moses was writing, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the God. He wasn't writing about the moon and the skies. He was writing about Christ. When Moses wrote that, "Let us make man in our own image," and God made man in his own image. No, he wasn't writing about you and I. He was talking about Christ. When he said Adam slept and Eve came out from Adam, what happened? Go to Genesis 5:1 quickly. Genesis 5:1. Look at Genesis 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. Look at what he said in verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name what? So he called male and female Adam. That should tell you that Adam, when you read Genesis, Adam is not only about that man, the husband of Eve. Look at it. He called their names what? Adam. So he said it. He said John 5:46. He said that if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me. He was using those examples to point to something. Yeah, that is why we are doing investigative scriptures. Simple. The reason why we are investigating scripture is to go and investigate what Moses said. Praise the Lord. Now, John 5:39 says that you search the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, but they are there which testify of me. That should tell you that scriptures point to what? One person. Now, write this down in your notes. Of all the studies you've written above, all of them must be hinged around Christology. Of all the studies you've written above, all of them must be hinged around Christology. All must be hinged around Christology, yeah? So that means Christ, what is Christology? Study of Christ, yeah? So that means Christ is the center focus of all your studies. Yeah? You can get the teaching we did a few weeks ago. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is not junior God. Yeah? Jesus is not the God that sits by the right hand side and dove on the... No. Jesus is God. Yeah? So, to understand God, a man cannot understand God without seeing Jesus. Write that down also. You cannot properly explain God without explaining Christ. God cannot be explained properly without explaining Christ. So Christ is the bias of the Bible. Glory to God. Christ is the bias of the Bible. So when we read the Bible, we have a bias, Christ. We have a bias, Christ. Christ is the bias of scriptures. You know, so that is why investigating scriptures means, you know, you can call it Bible hermeneutics. What does hermeneutics, biblical hermeneutics mean, rather? Sorry, it simply means interpretation or explaining the Bible properly. Hallelujah. So for starters, let's start for starters. The Bible is divided into two categories. Is that true? Yeah? The New Testament and the Old Testament. Now, the Bible is divided into two categories. The what? Old and the New. Yeah? The Old Testament and the New Testament. Which one is older? Don't fall for my trick question. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Which one is older? You see, a lack of understanding of this simple question I ask is what makes you think that God used to kill before but doesn't kill now. No, God has never killed anybody before. Amen? 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 I didn't mix my tongues. Let's assume I have to. God has never killed anybody before. Yeah, I know what's going on to your mind. Pastor, heresy, pastor. What are you saying? So what happened to Noah? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened to the one? Yeah, we see. Remember, we've done a teaching on the wrath of God, and we've seen the scriptures, some scriptures that seem like God killed people. But what did we see there? He was in God. Yeah, God has never killed. See, look at it. You said God has killed, but you're still the one singing, ancient of days, as old as you are, you will never change. But you simply said he was killing at the time, but doesn't kill now because of Christ. We negate what we sing and what we say. Unchangeable, you are the God. Unchangeable. How do they sing it? Unquestionable. Some people say they're unquestionable, unchangeable. Yeah. But you said he's unchangeable. But you said he killed people. And he, so look at it. A man that kills before and stops killing, has he not changed? If you were a thief before and you have stopped stealing, have you not changed? Yeah? Check. You stopped thieving. Yeah? So, John 10:10. John 10:10. What does John 10:10 say? He says, the thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life and life abundantly. The thief is the one that kills, steals, and destroys. So that means anywhere you say God killed, you've called God a thief. We don't know the implication of what you say. We see that Christ is the bias of scriptures. So now the question I just asked you, Old Testament and New Testament, which one is older? Logically speaking, you will say Old Testament, but that is wrong. It would mean that the Old Testament things that happened were not God's plan. It would mean that what Adam did caused God unawares. Okay, should we prove that a little? Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 9. Go to Hebrews 9:16. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. Have we proved it already? We've not proved it already. Okay, that's fine. What does it say? For where a testament is, go to verse 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Listen, no. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. What does that simply mean? It simply means that if you write a will, okay, your father's will, at what time does the father's will comes into existence? After he dies. That means a testament, your father's will doesn't come into existence until he dies. Is that true? So it says that a testament doesn't begin without the death of the testator. Yeah? Okay. So what I'm explaining now is this. I'm trying to explain how New Testament is older than the Old Testament, right? Yeah? Yeah? Is that what I'm trying to explain? Now, what I'm trying to explain with this before we go there is that, okay, let me ask this question again. Where does New Testament start? No. Where does New Testament book? Where does New Testament start? Your Bible. Where does New Testament start? It's not Matthew. Yeah, but you know, New Testament doesn't start in Matthew. Yeah, we just read it. A testament doesn't begin without the death of the testator. Who is the testator of New Testament? Did Christ die in Matthew 1? Did he die in John 1? Where did Christ die? At the end of those books. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are they part of New Testament books? No. Should be in Matthew, you are reading that Jesus was alive. Was he dead in Matthew? So, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John part of New Testament books? So we can call them part of New Testament books, but was the New Testament in operation there? No. Luke 24 shows us that Christ has died and resurrected. So it is after Christ died and resurrected that the New Testament began. Yeah, go to Galatians. Go to Galatians. Galatians 3:17. Oh, you're there already. What does he say? Paul is saying, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was... So, now, do we call the Old Testament the law? Is that what we call the Old Testament books? The law. The law, right? So we can say this, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the Old Testament, which was 430 years half what? Look at it now. Half. Now, don't be confused with my English. Look at it. The law, which was 430 years afterwards, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Do you understand what I just showed you? Look at it. The covenant that God had for mankind was in Christ from the beginning. That was God's plan from the beginning. The law, what you call Old Testament practices, was given when? After. So, old and new, which one is older? The New Testament is older than the Old Testament. Okay. Follow attentively. And this I say, okay, so watch this. I hope everyone can see this. It says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, what covenant would that be? When you see Christ, what comes to your mind? New. New covenant. You see, the word there, covenant, is the same word testament. So, can we say this? And the testament that was confirmed before of God in Christ, what testament is that? New what? Testament. The law, what is the law? Old Testament, which was what? 430 years after. So, is the law is the Old Testament. That's old. Yeah? Which was added? Was it new or old that was added? The old was added. So, which one preceded which one? So which one is older, the new or the old? The new, right? Yeah. So the New Testament, which is this one, circle this as the New Testament, the law, which is the Old Testament, which was 430 years after. Look at what it now says. The law, which is the Old Testament, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul what? The first covenant, which was before in God in Christ. Is that simple? That it should make the promise of no effect. So New Testament and Old Testament, which one is older? Beautiful. So let me ask you a question. The New Testament books and the Old Testament books, which one is older? Beautiful. Distinguish between the books, which are the writings, and the covenant in itself. The New Testament covenant in itself is older. That was God's plan from Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at that in the investigative scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. John 1:1 tells us that the Word, okay, in the beginning was the Word. That was John 1:1. Beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Moses tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What was John trying to explain? Genesis chapter 1. When you now see, John now tells you, and the light is Christ. When you now go back, you say, and God said, let there be light. What was God saying? Let there be Christ. Not the moon. Okay, no. So we're going to take it gradually. Yeah, we're not going that to that today. But I just showed you something. And that darkness was upon the face of the deep. No. Don't think of darkness as there is no light. No. Think about it as figurative for what? A man that has absence of light. Yeah? So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Yeah. Who is that Word? The Word became the light of men. So, John was explaining Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, let there be light. How did Paul say it? Yeah. So I'm opening your heads. I'm opening your caps to just think. Yeah. Just think. We're going to address all of this in this series. Yeah. So I'm just opening your minds to think. Yeah. So how did John say it? Paul say it? He says, chapter 4, verse 4. He says that, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is Christ, shine in their hearts. Yeah. The light of the gospel. So when Moses said, let there be light, what Moses was saying was, let there be the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Not light, not moon. No. Do you know why? 2 Timothy 3:15. What does he say? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So what is the wisdom of scriptures? Salvation. They are able to make you wise unto salvation. So did he say salvation, comma, biology and geography? No. That means Moses, when he said, let there be light, and there was light, yeah, and there was darkness, and there was light, yeah, what you should think about is not. Might you believe to see light, the moon, the stars? You are beginning to think what? Geography. Might you read Moses say, Adam fell into sleep and Eve came out? You are beginning to read what? Biology, that's medicine. Is that not true? But what does Paul say? Scriptures are to make you wise unto what? Salvation that is found in Christ by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the earlier you understand sound doctrine, the better for the rest of your life. You see, I saw a post recently. He said, when a lazy Nigerian youth meets a fake prophet, a relative in the village will pay for it. Selah. When a lazy Nigerian youth meets a fake prophet. See, most of our prophets, what did they always tell us? There's something. Is there anybody that there's nothing wrong with your foundation? Is there anybody that said that your greatest grandfather was a pastor? So, no matter what if they tell you that there's something from your foundation that is doing you, the truth is that there's someone that did something evil in your foundation. Nigeria is very hard right now. That the economy is not even making life easy for anybody. But when you understand sound doctrine and realize that a lot of things that people are promising you, that God is promising you, is not of God, you will live at peace and be content. That you're not coming to a church where every Sunday the pastor is saying, lift your hands, receive. This is your week. Since they've been telling us this is our week, what week was our week? The year, this is your year. Yeah, see, you will tell Bill Gates, sir, I see that the Lord says to you that this is your year. See, you have Warren Buffett and Bill Gates in a meeting. You now say, this is your year of divine. Bill Gates is the divine answer to your own prayer. If you let, see, when you hear the truth of God's word like this, it's difficult to consistently keep hearing it. Because it looks like, as a person now saying this, but I can assure you, it will help your life in the future. But if you can, at your little age right now, draw that line between materialism and sound doctrine, if you can draw that line between covetousness and contentment, a lot of prayer points and positive confessions we make is as a result of a covetous heart, materialistic heart. If you read in context, when the Bible says lay up gold and dust, it was a scolding. Wow, lay up gold and dust. Oh, wealth flows to me. Who are you? Are you magnet? Anywhere I step to, wealth flows to me. See, if you understand these truths, I can assure you, I've seen transformation in life in the last 5 years. You'll just be content. You'll just, anything that comes will be okay, but you'll be hardworking. If you like, go and do 99 hours of praise. If you don't walk, you will. When you praise him, he will raise you. That's nonsense. He has raised you, so praise him. Anything prayer cannot do, praise will do. To make you think that you don't need to pray more. That's why you see, a lot of us in churches, we always like praise and worship time. Hey, put on a dancing shoe, you remove your shoe, you walk from home, you put on a dancing shoe, you be running before, you be cutting your tiki, you be cutting on your cutting. Praise is about what you say to God, not what you do. You think God is a war over? The earlier you learn sound doctrine, the better for your life ahead and for your future and generation. When you can realize that you can be hardworking and serve God and not allow any of them to rob themselves. We live in a generation right now where people go to church to learn how to make money and go to their workplace to pray. When it comes to church on Sunday, 100 ways to be successful. Is that what Christ sent us to do? When you go to church on Monday, you see them inside the toilet. Come and do your work. I'm communing with my God. Leave me alone. You didn't pray in your church service. You went to the office where they are paying you for. You are doing quiet time. And work has started. So we see people come to church to learn how to make money. How does it to be successful? Oh, God, he was poor so that you might be rich. Which rich? His poverty is not material now. Yeah? So you must be rich. Yeah. See, if you want money, you work. Miracles don't happen every day. Miracles happen to people, but they don't happen every day. If you can distinguish at this your early stage between covetousness and contentment, you will see yourself going far. You see yourself that even if you only 1 million you have in your account, all your savings, you'll be happy. You'll be no fear. No, you realize that you will not be under peer pressure. You will not go and rent house you cannot afford. You will not buy car you cannot fuel. Yeah, people buy car they cannot fuel. look at your neighbor and say, contentment is great gain. Contentment is great gain. Look at your neighbor and say, contentment is great gain. I say, look at your neighbor and say, contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. Now, where were we before we went to where we are? Yeah, so scriptures make you wise on salvation. So for starters, the Bible is divided into the Old Testament books and New Testament books. Have you seen that already? Yeah, so to the Jew, if you are a Jew, for the Jew, they divide the Bible into the Old Testament can be divided into three segments. The law, rather than also the law, which is what the writings of Moses. The law, the writings of Moses, Psalms, and the prophets. Go to Luke 24. We see that in Luke 24, verse 44. For the Jew, they can divide the Bible into three segments, which is the law, which is what you call the writings of Moses, what you call the Old Testament books, yeah? The Psalms and the prophets. Look at Luke 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning myself. That was Jesus talking. So the Old Testament books can be divided into three categories, the law, prophets, and the Psalms. Usually, the Jewish guys use the Psalms majorly for singing. Yeah, they use the Psalms. That's why you see we have lots of songs from some Psalms. But the truth is that there are a lot of those Psalms that did not point to you. Yeah. For instance, when you say in the presence of the Lord there's fullness of joy, no, it's not about coming to church on Sunday. Or the stone that the builder rejected has become chief cornerstone. No, it's not about you. Don't make it look like your family rejected you and you are now chief corner. No. Yeah, remember we've done that explanation. We might go into that today. See, so they use the prophets for guidance to understand God's plan. They use the Psalms to majorly for singing. They use the prophets for guidance to understand God's plan, God's great picture. And they use the law for their daily activities. It's important to know that the Bible wasn't dropped from heaven. The Bible was written by men. That's very important to write. I think you should write that also. The Bible did not drop from heaven or from the skies. The Bible was written by men. The Spirit of God did not write it. That's why you can understand the things the men wrote. 2 Timothy 2:3 verse 16, it says that all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for teaching, for instruction, which is for teaching rather, for assurance, for rectification, and for instruction in righteousness. That is why scriptures were written. God inspired that scriptures should be written, but doesn't mean that everything that was written is the truth. Right? You write that also. It's good to write that also. The Bible Bible is called the word of truth, but doesn't mean that everything that the Bible says is the truth. The Bible is called the word of truth, but doesn't mean that everything in the Bible is the truth. So you see in the same Bible where it says that God killed, yeah, but it's not true. Yeah, that's why we're doing investigating scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember I said something earlier, the proof of learning is thinking and not excitement. You see, what I did to you all this morning is to make you think. That simply shows that you're actually learning. If you want to know someone that is not really learning, you know, I always tell you, when the truth of God's word is taught, never be among those that always say, right on, pastor. No, that's wrong. Don't lift your hands and be clapping for the pastor. No, that is wrong. Use your hand to write. Is that very minor act that we call minor that has led pastors into continuous error? When the pastor comes and say, oh, you are this, you are that, you are that, you are that. Yeah, okay, for instance, you shall be the head and not the tail. In your office, are you not the tail? Me right now, am I not the tail in my own office? Am I the head? No, now think about it. The moment you have a boss, you are not the head. So when someone now begins to say, you are the head, you are not the tail. Oh, there is he that is in you. There's a lion in you. Oh, there's a cheetah on your feet. Step out of the comfort zone. And I say, preach, pastor. See, is that preach, pastor, that's affirming the nonsense he's saying, and he feels like he has said something right, and he feels like he has made you happy, and he feels like he wants to impress you more. Oh, I need the keyboard, it's on the keyboard, bang, bang. I know these things. I know he stepped out, boom. Why are you dramatic? See, if I do all these things for you, you will laugh through our service. I can do them. Now I can say I can do all things. See, so we sometimes mix up interpretation. Let's see a very simple example while we go into how which of them should we say today? Let's see. No. So next 2 weeks, we're looking at Genesis. Next 2 weeks, we'll be touching Genesis. Who is the image of God? Who is what? When he says Adam slept and Eve was brought from rib, when he says Eve is the rib of the rib, what does he mean? When he says for this, okay, see a question I asked the people in workers training yesterday. When Moses said that for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, is it in the Bible? Genesis 2. Is it in the Bible? Genesis 2. How many people were alive at that time? Only Adam and Eve. So who was the father and mother that Adam left to cleave to Eve? That should tell you, go back and read it properly. Go back. You see, if you can think. See, never be in a position where the reason you take certain truths from the Bible is because a man said it. Yeah, so I'm in between a fix trying to explain Acts 2:22 or Acts 4:11. So remember we said something. Eschatology, which is study of last day events, is expected that you have a grasp of other studies before you go to. What I mean is this: is the writer of Revelation expects that you read Genesis to Jude before you go to the book of Revelation. If you are reading Revelation right now in this place, I advise you to stop. If you don't understand the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ, it will be difficult for you to explain Revelations. You have to use your understanding of Genesis to explain Revelations. Lamb, is the lion and the lamb? No, Jesus is not the lion and the lamb. But if you had read Genesis to Jude, you realize that what? The lion is not Jesus. The lamp is what you used to attribute to Jesus. John said, behold the lamp of God that takes away the sins of the world. Not behold the lion and the lion and the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. No. Moment you attribute lion to God, you have directly and indirectly superimposed a nature on him which is an aggressive nature. Yeah, so look at Luke. Let's see. Okay, so I've given subdivisions of the Old Testament books, which is the law, Psalms, and the prophets. The New Testament books are divided into what? Let's say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the first four books. They're known as the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are known as the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are known as the four gospels. After Matthew, Mark, and John, what's the next book? Acts, right? Yeah, so Acts is known as the history of the church. In Acts, you have the history of the church, the issues and how they lived and what they did. The book of Acts shows us the history of the church, how the church started, the issues they had, and how they lived their lives and what they did. Book of Acts shows us the history of the church, the issues they had, and how they lived their life. The book of Acts also shows us how Christ began to indwell men. Book of Acts shows us how Christ began to indwell men. So the book of Christ, Acts shows us the greater things. You know that scripture? Okay, I finished writing. Acts gives us the history of the church. It gives us how men were able to work for God, with God in them. It shows us God in man, book of Acts, and how they live their life. You see, you know that scripture that says, greater things shall you do? Do you know that scripture? How many of us don't know that scripture? Do we all know that scripture that says, greater things shall you do? Greater things that I did shall you do? You know the greater things that you shall do? You know it's not to buy a house. Yeah? You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying that, for instance, as Jesus was alone, he had a limited number of people he could preach to. Is that true? Because he was a man. Is that true? We don't see record of Jesus disappearing in the Bible. So he lived as a man. So Jesus was a man. Jesus had a limit. Even if he preaches every day, he had a limit of people he could meet. So what is greater things? Greater things simply means that, we're going to explain it in this series. Greater things simply means that when Christ now indwells so many believers can now do the work that Christ could do. Amen? Amen? So what is greater things? If only me, for instance, I'm the pastor of the church now, for instance, yeah? The work I can do is limited in reaching souls. Even if I reach 20,000 souls in a year, if I put myself in all of you, it means that if each of us are winning 20,000 souls, how many will all of us win? You see that? So that is greater things shall you do. So the book of Matthew, Mark, and John, the four gospels, Acts gives history and God in man, demonstrating his activities on earth. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 28, he said, lo, I am with you always to the end of time. Jesus never left us. Lift your hand and say, Jesus is with me. Lift your hand and say, Jesus never left me. Now, the book of Romans to Jude are typically what you call the epistles, the letters, epistles that the apostles wrote to a church or churches or groups of people. The book of Romans to Jude shows us all of that. They are known as the epistles, letters written to a group of people or persons. Then after understanding all this knowledge, that's when you can now go into Revelation. Yeah, Revelations 1, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Shows us the Bible when John said this is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you must have read chapter 1 before you start reading Revelation. Hallelujah. Look at neighbor and say, are you still here? Look at neighbor and say, are you learning? Yeah, that's not rhetorical. Are you learning? So ask and let me get a response. Get a response from your neighbor. Are you learning? Hallelujah. Now, remember, scriptures say, Jesus said that scriptures point to him, testify of him. Now, summarily, write this down, you know, summarily, we can say that the Old Testament books can be considered as Christ concealed. Summarily, we can say that the Old Testament books can be considered as Christ concealed. Summarily, we can say that the Old Testament books can be considered as Christ concealed, while the New Testament books is considered as Christ revealed. Summarily, we can say that the Old Testament books can be considered as Christ concealed. Yeah, Christ was there but wasn't seen evidently. While the New Testament books is considered as Christ revealed. That means the Old Testament books was about Christ, but it wasn't clearly seen. Look at Acts 8. Acts 8, 35. We saw that last week. Let's quickly see that again. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Remember the story background? It was the Ethiopian eunuch that was reading a portion of the Bible. Okay, go back to verse 30. Everyone just follow verse 30. And Philip ran thither and heard. Okay, go back to verse 28. Quickly. 27, sorry. Yeah, you know, you just need to understand that. See, that's what reading in context is. Yeah, you must understand what was coming, what was being said, what was happening before you get to where you are. Yeah, so, and he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Chandas, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So that means there was an Ethiopian eunuch that was on a journey, on a chariot, and he was reading. Look at this. Look at verse 28. When he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Who is Isaiah the prophet? Isaiah. So the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Look at what now happened in verse 30. He now says that, then verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to thy chariot. Yeah. So we're going to look at a lot of figures of speech in this series. Yeah. We've looked at one of them, which is the wrath of God. When we explain that the wrath of God has nothing to do with God. Remember that teaching? Yeah, so we're going to look at, we're going to look at those examples of when he says that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, or God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No. They're in the Bible, but they are figures of speech. We're going to look at that in this series. So he says, so when you see he joined himself to the chariot, is he saying that he started going his body to the chariot? Is that what he was doing? That's a figure of what? Speech, to mean that what? He joined the Ethiopian eunuch on his chariot, and they were what? Either moving or stayed together. Look at verse 13. And Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest that thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you read? Yeah? Don't be confused. It's KJV. Verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? You see, that is proper interpretation of scriptures is done by men guiding us. Men are to teach other men. 1 Timothy 2:2. Commit thou the things you've heard of me to faithful men who will teach others. Okay, so men are to guide us. We'll see all of those again. He said, and he desired Philip that he would come unto him and sit with him. Look at verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read. Who is the he that was reading? Who was the he that was reading? Who was the he that was reading? The Ethiopian eunuch. Philip saw him read that place of scriptures. Where did this place of scripture see? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, also like a lion. Is there a lion there? What does he say? Sheep and lamb, are they similar? Yes. What does sheep? He's not saying, don't do logo and put sheep and say that is Jesus. We're laughing. Okay, so he says, and like a lamb as a sheep before a shearer, so opened his mouth not. Open not his mouth. So like a sheep that is just like a mumu, he opened not his mouth to fight. What did he now say? Verse 33. In his humiliation, his judgment is taken from Isaiah 53. He's in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, look at who is talking now. Who is talking? Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip and said, what did he say? 1, 2, 3, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, let's read together. What is he saying? Did he say, does I pray thee mean he was praying? Figure of speech to say, I am asking, please answer me. Can you see? So prayer, when you see prayer in the Bible, it doesn't always mean pray. So a word only has life in the context in which it is used. So when he says, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet Isaiah? Was he speaking of himself or from another, or speaking of another person? That means you could have read Isaiah's writing and you think Isaiah was speaking about himself. Is that true? Is it true? You could have read Isaiah's writing and you think, oh, Isaiah was speaking about himself. Is that not why the Ethiopian eunuch was saying, is Isaiah speaking about himself? That means Ethiopian eunuch thought Isaiah was speaking about Isaiah. But the Ethiopian eunuch is asking, was Isaiah speaking about Isaiah or speaking for of some other person? What did he say in verse 35? Then Philip opened his mouth. Is it when he said Philip opened his mouth? This little is that what he did? So that is figure of speech for he opened his mouth and began to explain. So Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. What does that mean? So Philip took Isaiah 53 and began to explain. What was he explaining? And he preached unto him who? Jesus. So the New Old Testament books wrote about Jesus, but if you are not careful to understand it, the new you will be lost in what is being said. So you can write this also. The New Testament books give us the explanations of the Old Testament books. The New Testament books gives us the explanation of the Old Testament books. The New Testament books gives us the explanation of the Old Testament books. Let's quickly see an example. Let's see Psalm 16, verse 8. What does Psalm 16, verse 8 say? Can we read together? Can we? Will it be too much to ask for? Can we read together? So look at this first. You see, when you come to church and scriptures are to be read, look at the scriptures. It is because a lot of the reason why we are where we are today in Christian faith is because a lot of times when pastor says, look at the scriptures, we're looking at his face. Yeah, that's why a lot of confusions. If you just look at your Bible and see the next thing that was said, you will understand that this means something else. So when we ask to look at scriptures, it's not a punishment. Look at the scriptures. So can we read together? Verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at, hold on. So, now, who wrote this psalm? David. Also, remember, that wasn't David that wrote the entire book of Psalms. It wasn't. One of the things we learned grow up. For instance, people say that Paul's name was changed from Saul. No, that's error. Okay. So, when you read this, we heard a lot of things, and we just trusted the person talking. And we absorbed everything they said. Paul's name, oh, and when you meet with God in a vision, oh, God is going to change your name. Ah. That's why I see a lot of us trying to change our name. We want to change your name from Yusuf to Abraham. See, is your name in the book of life? Which name will be in the book of life? Don't be thinking your name. Your name, how can God wait for your father to name you? They now say that's the name you write in the book of life. So when you now change your name, ladies that marry and they change their husband's name, God will now say, hey, in agreement, that's Tipex. I mean, Epan Kansura. In Jamaica, will now say, no, she has to bring David. So, look at it. I have said the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If you read this in itself, it will look like or think like David. David is speaking about himself. Glory to God. And some things are very, very interesting. On the last day, God the trumpet. And you think there's one trumpet and one angel is, he just held the trumpet like this and he's doing like this. And Jesus is now leaning down and saying, please forgive them. God will now say, it's not because of you. It's a good man, remove that from the bottom. You think there's a book of life. Look at it now. Think, if we can think, God washed your sins, not your brain. How did the book translate to heaven? You said books are made from trees. What Bible is Jesus using? When after resurrection, when they say he disappeared, he went with 700 leaves. He just disappeared 700 leaves and 500 barrels. You would have seen Jesus' pocket full with Jesus. What is this? It says barrel. It's barrel. So that their names can be in the book of life. Apostle Peter will not say, you are forgetting tipex. You don't know some of them will sin. When you read this now, it looks like David was speaking about himself. Is that not true? Why? Because you are saying, I. Look at the next verse. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou will not leave my soul. It looks like it's David that is talking, right? Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Remember I told you when I lost my dad? Yeah? Someone told me that God took my dad because he didn't want him to see the next general election. Yeah? But use this verse. He doesn't want his only one to see corruption. So the corruption he's thinking about is Asovila corruption. Such brave, wise wisdom. Look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Is it not the verse that we always use? When you're about to start service, children of God, lift up those hands. You know the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. How many times did they say that you began to rejoice? And sometimes, even when you come to the presence of the Lord, that you are more depressed. You know some people, why do you think we don't take testimonies in gospel hours? Not because testimonies don't happen, but a lot of people will leave more depressed when you hear. Somebody, imagine one of you now come and join us and say, praise the Lord. All of you now say hallelujah. You say, that one is for me. And I say, Son of Lord, if you know, and you know that you know. Son of Lord, I want to thank God for my salvation of my soul. The man leading there will now say, now to your testimony. So salvation of your soul is not a testimony enough. Now to your testimony. Last year, I joined this great commission, Matthew 28. And the pastor ministered to me. And the Holy Spirit also ministered to me. No, it's the pastor's presence. Okay. Holy Spirit ministered to me to empty my pocket. You don't have transport home. Your Uber app, your account is not activated though. Empty your pockets and see what I will do in 7 days. Seven is number of perfection. I was hesitant, but I decided to go forward. And the pastor will now come around and say, if you are in this commission, God, look at, say, look at your neighbor, God is here. I'm shouting, God is here. Before, if nothing, pastor, this pastor, if you have been in this church for 7 months, 1 year, and nothing happened to your life, you're saying about material, you've known your life has not changed materially. Check yourself. Brother, sister, I want you to see something yourself. Want to see something yourself. That alone can cause another man that has been dead 12 years and has not had the car to himself. It can let him go more depressed because he would think there's something wrong he has been doing all his life. So when you say the presence of the Lord is filled with joy, it's not about service. Some people come to the church and go back more depressed. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Next verse. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my... that's 17. Now remember the last statement I made was the Old Testament books I explained where... Let's say that together. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3, go. The Old Testament books. Let's say together. Repeat after me. The Old Testament books. I explained in the New Testament books. Simply means to understand what David was saying here. We look for where it was quoted in the New Testament books. Where is it quoted? Acts 2, verse 28. Go back. Verse 26. Look at it. Whom God had raised up. Start 23. Look at it though. Listen carefully. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Who is speaking? If you trace it back, you'll realize. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye also know. Verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Oh, glory. What you can explain from this verse? Ye have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain him. Who are the people he's talking about? Ye men of Israel. So who crucified and slain Jesus? Ye men of Israel. What did God do in verse 24? Whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. You see? So, oh, glory to God. So that song where we sing, you know, this is another correction. In Christ alone, the wrath of God was satisfied. Okay, so we'll explain that soon. So when he sees that, so what did God do in Christ's death? What did God do now? What did man do? What did man do? Slain him. What did God do? What did man do? So you see that? Never think that it was God that killed Jesus on the cross. No. Men killed Jesus. God rose him up. Is that clear? Who killed Jesus? Men. Who rose him up? God, right? So look at verse 20. See it carefully. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me. Where is this quoted from? Where did we read just now? Was it the same thing we read? David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it is my right eye, I should not be moved. Is that where we read in Psalm 16? Is that where we read in Psalm 16? Not everybody's answering, you know. Is that where we read? Look at the next verse. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Is that the same thing we read? Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Is that the same thing we read? Look at the next verse. Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy only one to see corruption. Is that where we read? Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. Is this where we read? So Peter was quoting what David said. Is that true? Look at the next verse. Thou hast made known to me thy ways. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So you can see that what Peter did there was to paraphrase what David wrote. What David wrote was, in thy presence is fullness of what? Joy. What did Peter call it as? Thou shalt make make me full of joy with thy countenance. So he replaced countenance with presence. Is that true? Yeah. And replace full of joy with them, presence of the Lord, fullness of. Is that clear? Is it clear? Look at verse 29. Look at who is speaking now, Apostle Paul. What did he say? Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. So when David said that you will not allow your only ones for corruption, he wasn't talking about himself. That's what Peter is trying to show you. David is dead and buried. The burial ground is somewhere in Israel. That he is both dead and buried, and the sepulcher is with us to this day. I mean, you can go to a place and say that's where they buried David. Is that true? Yes, in Israel. Look at the next verse. Therefore, being a prophet, who is a prophet? Who was the prophet he's speaking about? David being a prophet. What did he say? And knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. This is a very interesting verse that will make you think like God is in charge of politics. Nah, God doesn't make... You see, if you campaign and people vote and you rig, you will win. Okay. Let's say it in Christian way. If you campaign and people vote, you win. Yeah? But if you really campaign and vote and rig, you will win. Yeah? So, but is that of God? No. Is that of God? No. Yeah? So, God did not put Buhari in power. God did not put Buhari in power. Yeah? Who put Buhari in power? Men did. Your vote. If you did not vote... You know, yeah, stop trying to say that God is trying to test our patience. No. God does not pray. God has no business in either a Christian or a Muslim is the president of a nation. So don't use this verse to talk about how Christ. So the people thought that Christ was to be the king of Israel. No. We'll explain that next week. But look at what Peter is trying to say. Look at verse 31. He's seeing this. Who is the he that was seeing this? David, seeing this ahead of time, before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. So when he says your holy one will not suffer corruption, what does he mean? His soul will not be left in hell. Yeah. So look at it in context. Neither his flesh did see corruption. What does that mean? Jesus' body did not decay. Jesus rose again. He rose again. Look at the next verse. This Jesus had God raised. You see what I just said? Wherefore we are all witnesses. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and being received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand side. So when you are reading David, say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand side. Who is he talking about? Christ. Hallelujah. So what does in we're going to round up there. Let's draw the knot here. What does in the presence of Lord there's fullness of joy mean? It means that upon resurrection, a man that believes has fullness of joy forever. Why? Because you are saved forever. That's the meaning. So once a man is saved by believing the gospel, he has the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I have the fullness of joy. God lives in me forever. God lives in me forever. My joy is full because I'm a believer. Therefore, I rejoice because this is an ability in me. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Say this after me. By the resurrection power, the Holy Ghost indwells me. The Holy Ghost lives in me forever. The Holy Ghost lives in me forever.